Blog Talk Radio.
Shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Zuke. In the Greek, his own zuke. Or what shall a man give in exchange or as a ransom for his zuke? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man, that is God's representative man, God's ideal man, the second Adam, which is prominent in the Gospel of Luke, the Son of Man, be ashamed when he cometh to the glory. In Hebrew, the word glory is kabod, K-A-B-O-D, and kabod means the weight of God. C.S. Lewis has a book entitled The Weight of Glory. I recommend reading it. Very small book by some standards, but very powerful, filled with incredible insight. When he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angel. Let me say at this point that it is imperative to meditate always on the words of Jesus, of Jesus. I want you to please note the occasion in which he speaks to Peter with regard to his, that is, to his destiny, that is, his messianic destiny. We know that the messianic consciousness of Jesus is complete. He knows himself. He knows completely who he is, and he knows intuitively his unique destiny. There's no dour acceptance on his part about his unique destiny. He has stated that his food is to do the will of the Father. In other words, the will of the Father brings him complete, or gives him completed satisfaction. He is entirely on another plane. And where the Jesus is has created havoc in Peter's self-understanding. Peter's self-understanding of Jesus is attached to a naturalistic acceptance of who Jesus is. Peter will stumble over his self-understanding in his relationship to the messianic figure of Jesus. Peter's self-understanding on another level is locked into the sark, that is, the flesh, with its desires and its inherent self-interest. And so Jesus speaks to his disciples about his unique destiny as designed by the Father. And in verse 32, Peter responds in a very negative manner to the revelation given in verse 31. Peter had not risen above the level of ordinary man, verse 32. And he spake that openly, that is, Jesus spake that openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And verse 33 records what was the impact of Peter's action on the others, on the community of disciples. Verse 33, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Now, in the New Testament, the word devil or diabolos refers to one who divides. The word devil means one who divides people for no reason. The word Satan, or Satana, as used here, means opposed. opposer, one who opposes. Here, Peter is seen as the instrument of the opposer, of Satan, the one who opposes God, and the one who also slanders the character of God. It is interesting that at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, we are given a summary of the temptation event in the wilderness. And that summary is important for what is to follow in the writing of Mark, or in the book of Mark, which some believe was the first the gospel document to be written. In Mark 1:12, you read, "And immediately." This adverb is important and is prominent throughout the Gospel of Mark. The adverb immediately. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Listen to the force of the verb. "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan." Now, here 40 is a number, and 40 is a number that often shows a time of severe testing or judgment. "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts." And then we read, "An angel minister unto him." And so also I want to bring out here that the preposition, we have the phrase tempted of Satan, and the preposition of in the Greek is hupo, which means under. He was tempted under Satan. He was tested under Satan 40 days. And we go back to Mark chapter 8. Excuse me. And we note the response of the Iesus to Peter. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And so what we have reintroduced to us is the temptation of the devil being that we find in the original temptation event being offered to Jesus again through Peter. And so the treachery of the opposer is introduced to the disciple through Peter. We note Peter's arrogance in verse 32. The arrogance of nonconformity to the will of God. The arrogance of an unwillingness to hear the word of God. It is important to understand that one of the greatest sins or lack of conformity to the character of God given in both the Old Testament and the New Testament is a failure to hear. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel," the verb of the sentence, the imperative nature or the significance of what the writer wants to communicate is moved to the beginning of the sentence in order to impress upon the reader the significance and imperative nature of a message. So, Shema, hear. Shema means to hear with a view to obeying. Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. In the New Testament, the word here is akouo. And it also means to hear with a view to obeying. A failure to hear is considered a heinous abrogation of duty toward God. Discipleship of necessity means that one hears the word of God. Peter bristled at the revelation of the Iesus. Verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer. And in the Greek, after haughty, which is transliterated as that, the, and often begins a clause called the haughty clause. After haughty, we have the word day. D-E-I in the Greek. And day is an important term in the New Testament. In fact, it's one of the words that I love. And day means it is necessary in the nature of the case. And so Peter would hear that word, day, coming from the lips of Jesus. And Huios, or Huios, Anthropos. And then Jesus uses another word, Pola, then Pathion. The Greek word is Pasco, from which we get our word passion. And so Jesus says that the Son of Man must day suffer. It is necessary in the nature of the case that he suffer, that is, to experience something evil. That is, to experience suffering on behalf of someone. And so I want you to get the impact of this revelation on Peter, who now has his new name. He is no longer called Simon. He is Petros, or stone. And when Jesus met him in John chapter 1, Jesus gave him his new name. Peter has indeed been given his new name, but the work of completion, that is, the work of God in the heart of Peter, so that Peter answers his new name, is still in its infancy. God will build Peter up. God will build in Peter a phenomenal character. God will not abandon Peter to himself. Peter will learn something about his its inherent arrogance, which God already knows is there, but which is hidden from Peter. And as long as Peter is unaware of his arrogant ego state, he cannot rise above the level of ordinary man. God has a unique destiny for Peter, but Peter can only hear at this point with the ears of ordinary men. Deicius notes the impact of Peter's word. Again, once again, this is a temptation event that we have in Mark chapter 1. Come again. And please note that when God puts you through a temptation event or events, or you find yourself in a situation that has been divinely designed, it is so that you may or you might be blessed. And you may, if it is God's design, you will emerge from that event or series of events substantively different. You may find yourself unrecognizable to some extent because God is at work in you, sculpting that character that he wants. The divine potter is at work in your life, shaping your will to his will. Through this virulent event, Peter's self-understanding, something wonderful is emerging, but he can't see it at this point. A foundation is being laid in his life by God. Verse 33, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, that is, Jesus, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. Now, in Luke's gospel, this word after is really very interesting because it means the enclitic of direction. The enclitic of direction. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. The word deny here is given in the aorist imperative, which means a command. The imperative voice means a command. It is aparneomai. This very important word means to refuse oneself, to give up self. This very important word means to supplant the ego constant. Because the ego, as it is, does not savor the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. One can see from the text that there is no watering down the understanding of discipleship in order to please the flesh. Indeed, the words of Jesus about discipleship are inherently compelling. Let him deny himself, give up himself. Can you imagine in our day of almost pathological narcissism? Pathological self-interest? Saying something like this? Let him deny himself. To give up self-interest. Take up his cross and follow me. Again, follow me is given in the present imperative. Do it now, do it at once. In this verse, we have the essence of discipleship. And its powerful and compelling demand give up himself. This command is other than causing self-interest. When Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, we're told that he received the call of God, not knowing where he would ultimately go. Noah, whose name means rest, was called of God to build an ark. In that violent, turbulent, antediluvian environment, and to accept the ridicule of answering his unique destiny. To give up himself, to give up oneself, to follow God, to be other than what the cosmos says should be. To have the will of God as primary. To give up the desire of the flesh. That is the fellow, the will of the flesh. And to receive the bole, the determined will of God, for one's life, for one's unique destiny, as one's unique destiny. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus' day, the cross was reserved as a form of execution by torture for non-Roman citizens. Aparneomai. Deny himself means the supplanting of the ego constant. It means a giving over or a handing over of the ego constant to God. He doeth marvelous things through us and for us. It is he who gives us rest. It is he who gives us peace. It is God who has given us salvation through Christ Jesus the Lord, who died for